Patriots Beat is brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
All right, we are back. We are live. Third day in a row, Alex. I get to talk football and Patriots with you live on the Patriots Beat podcast here on the CLNS Media Network. We have actual moves to talk about today, Alex Barth. The Patriots were active today. They were active.
Calvin Anderson isn't an actual move?
Well, it was a move, but, you know, we wanted more. We wanted better, and I think we got that. But before we left last night, I said, I think we're going to be on here talking about something. Turns out we will. So we want to get to all of it. We'll talk Juju. We'll talk tackle. We'll talk other moves, potential at tight end. We're going to reassess where this team is at after another day of NFL free agency. But first, before we do that, I want to talk about our new sponsors on the show at FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/Boston, and you will get $200 in bonus bets on us. Me and Alex were doing some bonus betting last night. Unfortunately, it was on the Bruins, but
I am ice cold, man.
Yeah, but ice that's okay because they're bonus bets. So, yeah, you can join none of the fun if you'd like to. Bet responsibly, obviously, at FanDuel.com/Boston. It helps out the show, and it helps you out to give you $200 in free bonus bets. So again, FanDuel.com/Boston. What you got to do is deposit $10, bet $5, and then you get $200 to bet with right away. So that's that. FanDuel.com/Boston. Help out the show. Help you out. Make some money. Alex, let's start off, I think, with what everyone wants to talk about and what we can assume is the biggest move that the Patriots will make today. And that is that the Patriots signed Juju Smith-Schuster from the Kansas City Chiefs to a 3-year, $33 million deal, 22.5 of which will be earned over the first 2 years of the contract. Juju is coming off a year in Kansas City where he caught 78 passes for 933 yards, 3 touchdowns. He won a Super Bowl ring, and he wanted to get paid again. The last two contracts, because I wrote about Juju as a fit before this whole thing started, where someone who they could go after and grab. And the last two contracts he was on were 1 year, prove it, if you will, deals. I think he had 1 year, $10 million with Pittsburgh. Then he went on another 1 year, $10 million with the Chiefs. Now he's here. He gets a longer-term contract, 3 years for 33. It's still a little bit of a prove-it deal. I know it looked identical to the Jacoby Myers contracts, and that's what everybody's been comparing it to today, but it's a little bit different. There's a little bit more incentives in it. There's only, I think, 16 guaranteed versus 22 for Jacoby, and so a little bit different. But overall, Alex, what'd you make of the move? What do you think of Juju's fit in this Patriots system now that they officially acquired another weapon?
So I'll kind of pick up where I left off last night, and we were talking about what are the moves they're going to make, and we mentioned who's it? The big one we're talking about was Hunter Renfrow, which, by the way, people in the comments freaked out that apparently thought, like, I really wanted Hunter Renfrow. Y'all misread that. Yeah. He just seemed likely. I was addressing the fit. They did better with Juju, honestly, for everything. In fact, everything in the age, the cost, all of that. They did better with Juju, I think, than they did on Hunter Renfrow. But it's kind of like I said last night, you know, we were talking about, all right, they haven't made a move at receiver. What if they make, you know, a move like this? And I said, all right, it's a good move. And that's where I'm at with Juju Smith-Schuster. Solid move. Good get. Helps them in the slot. I love his yak ability. This team has not been able to produce after the catch at the wide receiver position since Julian Edelman left. He averaged 6 yards after the catch last year. That was was a career high. It's almost double what Myers did. Since he entered the league, only Cooper Kupp has a better yak average than Juju Smith-Schuster did. Now, there is context you need to apply to that. He's played in some good offenses. He was opposite Antonio Brown at the beginning, and last year he was in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes.
He was behind Travis Kelce.
Right. So. And honestly, might have been behind Mecole Hardman, the way some teams may have attacked it. I'm just talking about in terms of coverage assignments.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So what you're looking at is, can you still, how do you maximize that knowing he's stepping into a bigger role? Well, one, you go out and you sign somebody or trade for somebody that makes him the number two. Right. It's that simple. Well, and we can get into some of this stuff, whether that's Odell, who it sounds like they may still be in on, whether it's Hopkins, who it sounds like they may no longer be in on. And I can give you my theory for that in a bit, but
yeah, we'll talk about all that.
That would be the big one. And the other thing is, I think you got to scheme it up. And there is, I think, a level of trust here in Bill O'Brien that, hey, your offense is heavily predicated on yards after the catch. Yep. We moved on from a guy we believe in to get a guy who's probably a better fit for what you want to do. Can you maximize it? Ball's in Bill O'Brien's court here. So good signing, good player, especially for the money. We'll see what happens with all the TikTok stuff, but a solid move. Are they going to maximize it?
Right.
And in this, by the way, I know this is going to scare some people, and frankly, it scares me a little bit too. There are some shades of the Jonnu Smith signing here. And what I mean by that, and look, it's not nearly enough. It's not nearly as much money. I don't mean financially.
Much of them. Anyway, go ahead. I'll let you
know. They signed Jonnu Smith, I said, I don't think I was alone in this. He's a scheme touch player. He's going to be as impactful as they allow him to be. How are they? The signing is only as good, or the signing being good or bad hinges on how they use him. And we talked about this on Monday, Mike. Maybe Jonnu didn't totally live up to his end of it here, but they could have used him better. They didn't necessarily put him in the best position to succeed. This signing to me is going to be as good as they make it. And as much as they can maximize it, that means bring in another receiver. And also, what kind of role do they use him in? Do they allow him to use his best skill sets? So I like the upside here. Yeah. I like the upside here, but they've got to maximize that upside. Let's see if they can do it.
I agree. I think Juju's upside is a lot higher than Jonnu Smith's was. Jonnu Smith only had, he had 448 yards was his career high.
That's fair. Okay.
Juju Smith's best season in Pittsburgh, he was a number two, but his best year, he caught 111 balls for 1,400 yards.
He's been a 1,000-yard receiver. Like, he's been a 1,000-yard receiver.
Right. He's been. So his ceiling and what he's done in the past is a lot higher than what Johnny's was. I love the move, Alex. I think it's less of a risk than the Jacoby deal. He has a higher ceiling than Jacoby. Jacoby might be a little more consistent.
I don't know. How is it less of a risk?
Money-wise. I just think that they're dumping in less money as far as guaranteed money.
Because I would say in terms of like the floor as a player, Jacoby's floor is higher.
Maybe.
Juju's been hurt. That's close. His down seasons have been lower. We haven't really seen him as a number one.
Talking about money.
If you want to say financially,
we'll talk financially. Okay. That was my point. The point was money and his ceiling is through the roof. And like you said, the yak part of it is an A+. I think he's a much better yak receiver than Jacoby. Jacoby was way more of that possession slot where Juju is that, you know, that yak receiver slot, which is what they want in Bill O'Brien's system. And I think that at the end of the day, he's better all around. He's a better all around wide receiver than Jacoby Myers. And you got him for a little bit cheaper on the deal. And so now you have a guy who, I believe they're the same age. He has a higher ceiling. He's here for 3 years, pending the contract, of course. And then you still have room to keep going. You can still go get your Odell Beckham if you want to. You can still potentially trade for DeAndre Hopkins. And that's sort of where you'll see, look, people use Juju's ceiling season, the 1,400 yards with Pittsburgh as like the benchmark. And you should, and that was as a number two. That wasn't as a number one. He put up 1,400 yards as a number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
And so,
but I think, so that can go one of two ways. It's glass half full or glass half empty. Hey, he did all of that with somebody producing more, or is it, well, yeah, he did all of that because he really wasn't getting a lot of coverage drawn to him.
I look at it as glass half full, right? Now you go get more. You go get more, and then he's your number two, and that's one of the better number twos in the NFL.
Well,
at his ceiling.
This is what's interesting. I posted on Twitter earlier the number Myers and Smith-Schuster's numbers side to side from last year, and they're very, very similar.
Sure.
And people were furious at me for not adding context, but half the people were mad. I didn't note that Jacoby Myers was the primary receiver in his offense and, you know, got the primary wide receiver attention. It was a slower offense, and he still managed to produce despite all that. And half the, like, basically inflating Jacoby's numbers. And half the people got mad at me for not mentioning that Juju Smith-Schuster was the number two or three in Kansas City and didn't get coverage responsibilities and essentially inflating his numbers.
Right.
So you can look at it whichever way you want. But I go to, all right, he produced that way under those conditions. How can you mimic those conditions? You're not going to get a guy the equivalent of Antonio.
Of course, you're not going to get him.
You're just not. But.
Well,
can you get?
I'm kidding.
I don't even know that Antonio. I knew you were going to say that. I don't even know that Antonio Brown at this point is the equivalent of what Antonio Brown was in 2017.
Right.
All time great wide receiver season, just period, history of the game. But can you go get somebody on the outside who is going to command some more coverage responsibilities than maybe a Devontae Parker would? Right. And because that, so I was texting with somebody, they said, Juju, all right, like, here we go. Kind of reminds me of Edelman or Welker, 2011, O'Brien. I said, all right, who's Rob Gronkowski?
Okay.
Because that gets lost in all of that. Like, that right. guy was commanding a lot of those coverage responsibilities. And again, they're not going to get that guy. It would be nice. They're not going to get that guy. But can you go get somebody who's going to command respect elsewhere on the field to set Juju up with one-on-ones? Because if you can get him one-on-ones 80, 90% of the time, he's going to be very effective here if he stays healthy.
Yes.
He will be a board. He should be like a 1,000-yard kind of guy if he stays healthy. If you can get him those one-on-ones in the slot with Mac throwing him the football. And I say this all the time, right? What do you need to do to maximize Mac Jones? Middle of the field, short to intermediate parts.
Yes.
That's is Juju Smith-Schuster. So that's great. Team. But teams are just going to flood that area in zone right now. And they're going to go one-on-one with Parker on one side and one-on-one with Thornton or Bourne on the other. And they're going to flood that middle of the field. Who are you getting now to stop them from doing that? That becomes my next question.
So let's transition into it then. Let's talk about it, because more reports came out today that the Patriots were calling around on DeAndre Hopkins and Jerry Jeudy. Yeah. There's also reports that they are in on the Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
free agency market.
I think Cortland Sutton was in there as well, right?
I think the Patriots?
I saw his name.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe that was yesterday.
Okay.
One of the reports about them calling the Broncos had Cortland Sutton's name.
Okay. There was also another report that came out after the fact that the Patriots are now out on DeAndre Hopkins. That's from Albert Breer from SI. But we'll keep this this banner up here for now to talk about receivers as a whole, because they
out and then be back in.
They called on Hopkins. And so they clearly had some interest, right? And so right now we're looking at Mac Jones at quarterback, Ramondre Stevenson and Pierre Strong at running back. Your current wide receiver room is Juju Smith-Schuster, Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, Tyquan Thornton, and then your tight end is Hunter Henry. There's holes to fill. You still need a better receiver, and then you need a second tight end to really work this thing out. I like Hunter Henry, and I like his ceiling. I think he can be much better than he was last season. He wasn't schemed up right in this offense. They didn't use him to the best of his abilities. He was a quality player in Los Angeles for some time. So I think you're good at tight end one, but you still want someone to compliment him. And there was a report too that they were in on Donald Parham. Mark Daniels, Mass Live, later refuted that. And so whether they were or were not, there was rumblings around them potentially bringing in a second tight end. So they're still calling around for skill position players on offense. Are they going to do it? How do they do it? Should they do it? That's where I'll leave it for you.
So I'll say this, if we put a little bit of stock into that DeAndre Hopkins thing, right?
Sure.
That there may be out on him, but they're still in on Beckham.
Yep.
What's the difference there? They don't have to give up draft capital.
Yeah.
Right. For Hopkins. And by the way,
Odell.
And by the way, I should start with this. And this, I know it's going to kill some of you. Trust me. It kills me. Y'all know how much I love this player. I think we're probably done with Jerry Jeudy at this point. Just because we just talked about how Juju's going to be the guy in the slot, right?
Yeah, right. That's where they're going to. Yeah.
Jerry Judy's a slot receiver, so it becomes redundant. How do you play both? Trust me. I really wanted to see Jerry Jeudy in a Patriots uniform. I would have rather had Jeudy in the slot than Juju. But
reading the tea leaves on that, it sounds like this morning they were in on Jeudy. They wanted to see the price. It was reported that it was heavy, first round pick and more potentially. So then at that point, they said, we're not paying that. We're just going to outbid Kansas City instead,
possibly,
which is what they did with Juju. That's where I could see that have happening.
I think we're probably moving on from Jerry Jeudy. And again, Hurts, pour one out for the end of the Jerry Jeudy to the Patriots era. Yep. But can play on the outside. Hey, you're going to use him in the slot. It's just where he's going to be at his most productive. And they're not in a position to do that.
Sure.
So now we're talking about Hopkins. Now we're talking about Beckham. Now we're talking about Cortland Sutton. And it sounds like the price to trade for receivers is much higher than we expected it to be. If that's going to be the case, it's Beckham, because they don't have to give up a draft pick to get him.
Right?
So that's where I'm at. Now, look, could the price come down on Hopkins? Certainly. But everybody looks at when they traded for Brandon Cooks as the precedent.
Mm-hmm. First round pick, right?
Right. They gave a first round pick and, hey, they'll give up a high pick for a receiver. Well, there's a couple things to note here. One, Cooks didn't need a new contract. And in fact, they traded him away before they had to give him a new contract. Hopkins needs a new Hopkins going to need a new contract. We know that. Right. I believe Sutton would as well. Cooks was also like 24, 23, 24. He came in the league young. So he was young when that trade happened. Hopkins over 30. I had one more thing to remember, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, they've since traded a second round pick for Mohamed Sanu. I do wonder if that makes them a little trigger shy with a guy who's over 30, a guy who's had a PED suspension. I wonder about that. I feel like Beckham might make more sense at this point, given what we've learned in the last couple of days.
Sorry.
I don't know, Mike. You tell me, am I off?
Hold on. Well, this is what I'm working here.
News?
Are you looking at news? No. Okay. I'm just working on this. Should the Patriots sign Odell Beckham Jr.? Right on the bottom of the screen for us.
We do a little bit of news, by the way. Jamal Williams to the Saints.
Oh, okay. That's something. I didn't expect the Patriots to be in on that, but sorry.
I didn't either. I just like Jamal Williams.
Yeah, me too. Good guy. I agree with you on the draft capital, I think, but I disagree in the fact that they would use the Mohamed Sanu as a potential way out of it, because I just think that DeAndre Hopkins is a much better player than Sanu was. I don't really know. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I don't think Mohamed Sanu produced the way DeAndre Hopkins produced this past season. So I think it would be much more worth it, and I think you would consider doing it again to go get Hopkins. That being said, Odell, how old's Odell?
I forget if he just turned 30 or he's about to turn 30.
Okay, he's 30. Right, he turns 30. 31 in November. I just looked. So similar in age. Similar in age to Odell and DeAndre Hopkins, similar in age. Odell has the injury history. Hopkins has, you know, not an injury history, but he has, you know, a history of potentially, you know, it's a question mark for him as well. And so I think ultimately looking at it from a draft perspective, I think I would go with Odell. The fact that you don't have to give anything up for him, you just have to sign him. That being said, what number do you want to go to for Odell Beckham? Because there's reports out there that he could want upwards of $20 million. I don't think a lot of that would end up being guaranteed because of the history, you know, where he's at health-wise. He looked pretty good. And I tweeted a video of his workout the other day that he posted on his Twitter as well. He looks pretty good. He looks healthy. He sounds healthy from all the reports. I would go give Odell Beckham a shot. I really would, because again, the part where you say, you know, and I didn't really think about this until you brought it up, just the fact that you don't have to give up anything. You just have to sign him. It's only money. They have the capital.
Right.
He can be a guy who's going to command a number one cornerback on top of you, which will just help Juju out even more. So I would do it. I would go with Odell here.
Yeah, and then it becomes, how do you sell him on it? And where's the interest for him now? I don't think, and this is just me guessing, I don't think he has a big market, because if he did, I think he would have signed by now. Okay. I think he would have signed before Jacoby Myers and Juju Smith-Schuster. Those contracts haven't exactly helped his value.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, if he's going to go somewhere, what kind of contract are you signing him to? If you're the Patriots, you're going to have to sign him for multiple years.
Yeah.
Because if the sell is 1 year, prove it, reset your value, well, he's going to go do that in Kansas City, or he's going to do it in Buffalo, or he's going to do it, you know, somewhere that he's a better chance to produce and reset his value, right? But if the Patriots are the only team offering multiple years, and like those teams, Kansas City, Buffalo, they're not going to offer multiple years. Not concrete. There might be like a dummy year in there.
Yeah.
No guaranteed money, but that's going to be what the Patriots would have to do, I think, to get this thing done. And there's risk in that, because you have a player who has had, you know, two ACL tears in 16 months and hasn't played since. And you're going to guarantee that guy money over multiple years. There's tremendous risk there.
I wonder about how the ACLs, you know, ACLs, it's a tough injury. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like they've come so far medically where a guy can tear his ACL, come back. And he didn't play all last season. right? He played no games. He has been rehabbing and recovering since the Super Bowl that the Rams won. And so I think he's going to be healthy. He looks healthy. He still has another 5 months until the season starts. So the health, I think he's going to be okay. I do. That's optimistic given the fact that he is coming off an injury. But the last time he played football, this isn't the Cleveland Browns Odell Beckham that, you know, you're not taking a risk on him as far as like a locker room problem like the Rams were.
Right.
The last time he was in LA, he was playing very good football and he did not cause a stir up in that locker room whatsoever. And so I would do it because that's your best option right now, because you're going to have to trade a lot for Judy. You're going to have to trade a lot for Hopkins. And so I think I like the idea of Odell right now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, continuing on with the Patriots moves of the day, Alex, I do want to talk about Riley Reiff, because the Patriots also added a quality offensive tackle today. It was one of the first moves that was announced on Wednesday, as Diane Rossini from ESPN reported that the Patriots are, in fact, expected to sign Riley Reiff. It is a one-year, $5 million deal, according to Tom Pelissero. Reiff is 34. He was a former first-round pick and has played on both sides of the football. On both sides of the line, rather. He's not offensive defense. He played left and right tackle.
Anyway.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But he's played on both sides of the line. He started 172 games. He is older. He's 34, but played 10 games last season at right tackle for the Bears. So what'd you make of them getting in on Riley Reiff, adding another tackle to a big tackle room now?
I feel like they're just kind of trying to throw things against the wall tackle and see what hits. And okay. You have a veteran probably on the back end, and Reiff, you have a guy who's been around a little bit, but is relatively young, who, like, there's some things to be excited there in Calvin Anderson, but is very raw. And then I think you'll have a rookie. And they're just going to hope between those three, they end up with one tackle. That's what it feels like to me. And I mean, let's not forget, they RFA'd or they tendered Yadni Kajus today as well. I think they're just kind of turning it into a numbers game over there.
But I don't really hate it because...
No, go ahead.
I'm not saying what.
I was gonna say, like, I like the strategy.
I thought you
some
got
years.
That's why I thought you made that noise.
No, I like that strategy some years, but like when there's so much talent available, just I don't know.
So here's where I look at it. Right, last year the offensive line was terrible. They couldn't block anything, but I don't think it was entirely the actual skills fault. I think that there was a lot had to do with a lack of coaching. However, they did also get hurt along the entire line. We talked about it last week where James Ferentz was lining up at left tackle at one point. And so now, as it currently stands, I don't know what they're going to do with Trent Brown. I've heard and seen, you know, murmurs that they might try and dump Trent Brown somehow to get more space. But call it for what it is right now. You have along your line Trent Brown, Cole Strange, David Andrews, Mike Owenu, and Riley Reiff on the right side. That's a solid front five.
I do a little bit of news. Miles Sanders to the Panthers.
Oh, that's interesting. No. Okay. Miles Sanders to the Panthers. So they have, who was their running back this year? Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard and Donta Foreman.
Donta Foreman. So, okay, that's pretty good. They're building something down in Carolina. They're doing pretty well for themselves.
Sorry to cut you off.
Miles Sanders
ahead.
Had a good year. No, you're fine. So, yeah, that being said, that offensive line of Trent, Cole Strange, David Andrews, Owenu, and Riley Reiff is a good starting five. And then you now have Yannick Adjust, who just got tendered. You have Connor McDermott, who was re-signed, and then Calvin Anderson. So that's three swing backups that can play on both sides, you would think. And then on the in the interior line, you have James Ferentz, who's a quality backup as well. And so last year, when it was just completely depleted and they were signing Marcus Cannon and they were trying to move Wynn around, and then Wynn would get benched and Trent would get sick, and it was just a complete cluster basically because of the rotation. And so if you can have a solid front five and then bring in quality guys who have already played in the system, it's a different system. But, you know, guys in Calvin Anderson and McDermott, I don't hate that as much as it was this year. So I think I'm okay with Riley Reiff as long as he can play to the level that he's capable of. And I don't think it's really – I don't think it's really boom or bust. I think he's been pretty solid his entire career.
He was fine last year. I don't know. It's still – incomplete to me. I still want to see them get a tackle in the draft.
So you want them? Do you want them to do it at 14? Like, are you still up for that?
Yeah, I don't think that Calvin Anderson or Riley Reiff are your tackle of the future. And who knows what the tackle class is going to look like next year? You have a chance to get your tackle of the future. I'd do it. Doesn't mean they have to, but
right. It's also a relatively cheap deal.
And like, you know what?
Like,
actually, it's no. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's 1 year, $5 million. So you're not. You know, you're not necessarily tied to Riley Reiff by any means.
By the way,
if you did.
Is that picture Riley Reiff or is that Cole Strange?
That's Riley Reiff.
Looks like Cole Strange.
Yeah, it looks like him, but it is Riley. It also kind of looks like Joe Tooney, but it is in fact Riley Reiff.
I guess I didn't really know what Riley Reiff looks like. I will say today is probably the best I've felt about them taking a wide receiver at 14. Today is probably... After what happened today, because my theory, right, and I say this all the time, the last couple of years, and I think this just might be Matt Groh's way of operating, where is the biggest hole on the depth chart? Fill it. Regardless of positional value, fill it. The biggest hole in 2021 was quarterback. The biggest hole last year was guard. Even with signing Juju, starting to feel like the biggest hole is at wide receiver. And then
so
you
what
do
wide
tackle
receiver?
Somewhere
you're
else
go get,
in the top 100.
You're going to do Quentin Johnson? Is it Quentin Johnson?
That's where it gets tricky.
That's the problem.
It
yeah,
doesn't
that's
total,
what I
I'm
don't
still,
like about this.
I'm not ready to lock this take in yet. I'm still kind of working on it. Because
well, do it. Give it to us on these airwaves.
Well, no, because like you said, they need
don't lock it in, but let us know.
They need a boundary receiver, and that guy probably isn't there outside of Quentin Johnson. Does that mean you move down? It doesn't mean they go corner in the first round. Like, I don't know. A guy I do think is a lot more in play now is Bryce Ford Wheaton. That's another story, and I'm sure people aren't surprised to hear me say that. But, it does sort of feel like this is their plan at tackle. Just don't necessarily have an obvious guy. Just throw things against the wall and see what sticks. And I don't know. If it's a first-round pick. You're not doing that. That's your starter. You take a guy at 14, you're starting that guy. Do they want to do that, or do they want to invest a little lower pick? And, hey, maybe he's the guy, maybe he's not. If we have to address it next year, so be it.
Speaking of pick 14 now, so let's assume that this is their plan at offensive line and they do want to, you know, let Riley Reiff, not hand him the job, but, you know, give him the job and it's his job to lose at right tackle. And Trent stays.
Yeah.
And they do go sign Odell Beckham Jr. And they did just sign Juju Smith-Schuster. I know you've said it before, but the hole on offense now would be tight end. Are you taking a Michael Mayer at 14?
No, because corner's still...
Even in this scenario.
Corner's still a bigger need. Safety's still a bigger need. Brian Branch. And again, the tight end class is just so deep. You're going to get a guy who's a first-round talent on day three. There's just no need for it. No need.
And that's a good point, too. They haven't done much. They haven't really fixed safety all that much.
Done anything?
They've re-signed.
Nothing external.
Yeah, exactly. Peppers came back, but And so... Juan Thornhill just went to
somewhere.
He just signed from. Yeah, he just signed. Anyway, he's gone. Jesse Bates is gone.
Poyer
went
back
to Buffalo
today.
Yeah, that's new news.
I'll
today,
add this,
so.
And we did get this news today. Yeah. We got the details of Jabril Peppers' contract. A year later, I'm still doing Julius Peppers. Shows how good of a player he was. Shout out to him.
seriously.
We got the details of Jabril Peppers' contract today, right? Which we didn't have. Mm-hmm. They gave him some good money. $6 million guaranteed.
Did.
Like he's basically making the same that Adrian Phillips is. So that tells me they see him on par with that role. Like he's going to play a lot. They're not just bringing him back to cover kicks. They're bringing him back to be a part of that safety rotation. So for whatever that's worth, like I think they have a big, and I wrote about this on 98.5thesportshub.com today. And I wrote about the Juju Myers thing, too. I meant to plug that earlier, 98.5thesportshub.com. There's a role waiting for him. Like, he's not just coming back to cover kicks. He's going to play. We're going to see him out there.
Yep. He's, again, one of his sort of I mean, he was a jack of all trades coming out of Michigan, right? But then
right.
his sort of knock, I guess, you know, he bounced around. He went from the Giants and the Browns and all that, and then he came here. But his knock was never his skill. He was just hurt for a while. And so now he played a full year last year, healthy. Yeah, I'm excited for that because that's a, you know, we've had a day to digest it now. But, I mean, that's a player who has a high ceiling. You get him, you give him good money, and, you know, you are going to pay him if you're going to, you're going to play him if you're going to pay him that. And so I like it too. One other question.
And just to add to that with Peppers, as the season went on, his role expanded. They started using him in a much more versatile way at the end of the year.
Yeah.
On the line, as a boundary corner, like everywhere. So that's encouraging, I would say.
Right. I would agree. And so the other thing on tackle I want to ask too is going into today, my ask and sort of thought, big splash move for them would have been to go get Orlando Brown. Does Riley Reiff signing for only $5 million stop them from going to get Orlando Brown?
No, it shouldn't stop them from doing anything. I don't know that Riley Reiff makes the team.
Okay.
I'm not saying he won't, but like,
right.
It's a true flyer. He's 34. Right. Does he want to do another year? He may get here and realize I don't want to compete with a bunch of kids. Like,
I saw a good tweet today from Brian Phillips, used to write for Pat's Pulpit, and it was the video of Antonio Brown jumping up and down, quitting, and the caption was Riley Reiff when he has to run the hills for a second day at Gillette. And so you never know, but
it should. Let me say this: it shouldn't stop. Now I don't think they're going to go after Orlando Brown.
That's what I was going to say. But the fact that
Riley Reiff signing shouldn't make or break them going after Orlando Brown.
But if you're doing a patchwork job, right, with Riley Reiff and Calvin Anderson and Connor McDermott and Trent maybe, and so it just tells me that, and, you know, tendering Yadni Kajust, so I just don't think they're going to do it. I just don't see it. But I thought that would have been smart because, again, that sign one, draft one we've talked about for quite some time, that would make a lot of sense, but I don't think so. So that's sort of the Patriots news, Alex, of the day. I think what I want to do, since this is our third show of the day and we've done a lot of us talking, let's bring the chat in if they have questions, because we have a full chat. We're at over 800 live now. And so let's ask as many questions as you guys want. And we'll try to get to as many just about, you know, the Patriots, free agency, anything that's gone on. And while they trickle in, Alex, maybe we should talk about Aaron Rodgers quickly once again, because he did say today live on the Pat McAfee show that he does intend to play for the Jets. It's only Green Bay. The Green Bay side that is holding it up. He sounded like pissed off Aaron Rodgers in that interview. I don't know if you saw it, because basically his side of the story is that he was going into his darkness retreat intending to retire, and then when he came out, the Packers were shopping him, and now he's pissed off, and now he's coming back.
Okay, first of all, that's not true. I just don't believe that. I think he wanted to leave, but he doesn't want to be the guy who left Green Bay because he sees how it's hurt Brady's legacy. So, no, they moved on for me. Who broke up with who? No. I broke up with them. They didn't break up with me, or I guess it would be the other way around in this one. But I don't buy that for a second. I'm still where I've been on this. It's going to be a clown show. It's either going to be spectacular or spectacular failure.
They're going to be so good.
There's no in between.
They're going to be so good. They're going to be so good. I think the Jets are going to be a wagon. But that's enough of Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. We've talked about him for 3 straight days. The saying, try it free for 30 days, gives you just enough time to try a subscription or service and then completely forget about it. Before you know what's happening, you're paying for a subscription you don't use every single month. With Rocket Money, you can change that with just a few quick taps. Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on their subscriptions, when really that number is closer to $200 or more. If you don't know exactly how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. The app quickly and easily identifies all of the subscriptions for you and helps you decide on the ones you don't want anymore. Simply find those ones you don't want, press cancel, and Rocket Money will do it for you. No more long hold times with customer service or tedious emails back and forth. Rocket Money makes canceling it super easy with just the click of a button. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person over $720 a year. A quick story, as I'm sure you all know, anyone who follows me on Twitter, my second favorite sport behind the NFL is college basketball. I watch just about every single conference, so having an account on ESPN Plus is really a blessing for me. It's the best subscription I have, and I use it regularly. The problem, however, Well, for the longest time, I had Hulu, Spotify, Disney Plus, and countless others. I was paying for them and I had no idea about it. So you forget about it and it drained my bank account. Not anymore, though, because I use Rocket Money. So stop throwing your money away, cancel unnecessary subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way. Go to rocketmoney.com/patsbeat. That's rocketmoney.com/patsbeat. rocketmoney.com/patsbeat. So let's get to the
Yeah,
questions, Alex.
I can't wait to be done with that crap.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go to this one real quick.
Cool.
What about Bryce Ford Wheaton, other than his combine stats, lead you to believe he belongs in the NFL? His tape, you watch him at West Virginia.
Yeah.
He's great in contested catch situations. He's, you know, good at the line of scrimmage, getting off press. He's great on special teams. He's an NFL player. Just throw that out there. Okay.
I was just going to say, I figured you would wanted to bring up the special teams with him as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big part of it.
So are they going to bring back the fullback?
I don't think so, O'Brien.
Because we talked about that fullback role
yeah.
with O'Brien. Sorry to cut you off, but that move tight end, that would have been Jonnu, and now Jonnu's gone. So what are they going to do with that position, that H-back?
Now, I still think they could have that move tight end.
Right.
You know, they haven't had a traditional tight end. O'Brien hasn't in a while. He really didn't in Houston. He certainly didn't in Alabama. He had that more move tight end thing. Maybe a guy like Sam Laporta in the draft is what they're thinking.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be the true, like, Jakob Johnson, James Devlin fullback. I don't think that role's coming back anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree. So we haven't actually talked about Austin Ekeler yet on the show. The question is, could Ekeler be a fit? So Austin Ekeler from the Chargers has requested to be traded, and he was given permission, I believe, to seek a trade. Their backup running back is Isaiah Spiller. I don't know if you remember him from Texas A&M. So it looks like he might end up being their guy potentially out there. Josh Kelly too. But regardless, Ekeler looks like he wants out of L.A. My mantra has always been don't give running backs money. Don't give them second contracts. Don't pay them. And I feel like Eckler's going to move and kind of want to get paid. So if he wants to get paid, I wouldn't do it. But if you're looking for a guy that's going to be a compliment to Ramondre Stevenson, Austin Ekeler is the perfect fit. The perfect fit for that pass catching back. And so would he fit? Absolutely. Should they do it? Probably not.
Oh,
that's
yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. He'd be a great player here. Like he'd be a great fit. I felt that way for years, but what it's going to cost to trade for him, what you're going to have to pay him. It's not too much of a luxury need at this point. I'm going to bring up one more Ford Wheaton one. Cause I feel like picking this fight.
Let's do it.
Quentin Johnston, N'Keal Harry, but want Bryce Ford Wheaton. Well, yeah, because I don't have to take Bryce Ford Wheaton in the first round. I can get him outside of the top 100. Use context. Use context. There's a difference. Yeah. I would take Quinn Johnson in the fourth round. I'd be perfectly happy with that, but he's not going to be there.
Yep.
So we can't have that discussion. All right. What else we got?
Dalton Schultz is an interesting one. Taylor Kyles, new Patriots beat reporter.
Yeah.
His big target seems to be Dalton Schultz. I've seen him tweeting about that a lot. He can block too, which would be a solid addition because Hunter Henry really can't.
Right.
Now, he's that big body tight end, but he's not a great blocker. And so Dalton Schultz would be interesting in that regard. If you could also bring him in and use him as that sort of move-ish tight end, you know, in your run game. But I think he's probably going to command a lot of money. He hasn't, you know, gone anywhere yet. I like the fit. I wonder if the Patriots go for it, but I think that would be a solid compliment to Hunter Henry.
I don't, but can you put both of them on the field at the same time? That's
what
I wonder about. Like, it's a similar route tree, right? It's kind of like Ekeler. Schultz a good player, but
yeah,
I'd rather see them spend that money elsewhere. Again, who's the guy that's going to help you widen the formation? Schultz isn't going to do that. So
fair.
Good player, but I don't see it for this team. I don't see the fit.
Okay. Darius Slay. Will the Patriots look into Darius Slay? They should.
I think they should, and I think people are too worked up about him liking that tweet because it's just
me too.
Guys just like each other's tweets. It's what they do. It doesn't always mean the end of the world. He doesn't like Matt Patricia.
He hates Matt Patricia.
Matt Patricia's gone. So yeah, they should pick up the phone. Look, he's coming from the Eagles. He probably wants to join a contender, but I'd hope they'd make the call because big veteran corner, that's what they need. You add him after re-signing Jonathan Jones, you're probably good. I think we can really downgrade the cornerback need, right? We probably don't have to talk about that in the top 100 in the draft anymore. So I'd love for them to make that call, but I don't think they will. It doesn't seem to be the way they're operating this offseason.
Yeah. I want to build off Darius Slay, Alex, and this, it doesn't have to do with the question, but so Darius Slay is going back on this whole Patriot Way thing on Twitter. And Damian Harris retweeted it today. I know you don't like to get into the drama.
Yeah.
But seems like he doesn't really like the Patriot Way all that much, Damian Harris. He's good friends with Mac Jones, but he retweeted it. He put it out there.
Or does he not like Josh McDaniels? Or does he not like Matt Patricia? Which, by the way, there's a very, you know, it would make sense that he doesn't like Matt Patricia, right? Fair. So,
yeah. Okay.
Everybody wants to knock the Patriots as being undesirable this time of year. That's just what they do. I'm not saying that there aren't some reasons to do so, but there's much easier ones than reaching on a retweet.
Right. Well, if he does leave, how about Jahmyr Gibbs? If he's there at 46, they need to take him. If he's there at 46, they need to take him. That's my view.
I still don't know. I just there's so many other needs to take a running back that high and a guy that's not going to play that much. He's not going to be there at 46. I think people are starting to realize what I've been saying for about a month now. He's the best running back in this draft. It's not Bijan. I think all around it's Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he's going to end up going in the top 40. And I don't think they're going to do a Barmore trade this year.
He's going to get picked at 45 and I'm going to punch my TV. That's what's going to happen.
I can see it. I can see all of that.
Yeah. So, let's see. Sorry. Just looking for a question. And Marcus Peters. What do you think of Marcus Peters? He's an older cornerback, but he could be an option.
Yeah.
He's been solid.
I like Peters for them on like a 1-year deal, right? If you can get him on, you know, one of those veteran deals, I still think you probably draft a corner because, you know, is he going to fall off? You risk that. But that's a guy I wouldn't hate them getting involved with.
Yeah. I think he's 6 foot. So he does. I mean, that's sort of their average height in the cornerback room right now. They don't have much taller, and I think they still need to go for that taller corner. But depending on what Peters would command on the open market, I think that would be a solid move. Going back to running back, J.D. McKissic. That's a third down back who has been solid for the Washington football team Commanders for the last couple years. Again, I say it always, there's always a caveat, but depending on the price, I would like to go get J.D. McKissic. I think he'd be a solid pass-catching back to complement Rhamondre Stevenson. You take some reps off of him, a guy who was battered last year. I saw a tweet today from Dakota Randall from Nesson that Rhamondre had like the third or fourth most scrimmage yards of the Bill Belichick era this year. I didn't realize that. He's up there with a couple of those Welker years, and he was dominant this year, but man, he took a beating, and so they need to do something more in the running back room to take some miles off his tires. We had that fight back and forth all season, and I said, run him. And once again, you got me there.
Yeah.
But,
I'd like to see them add a veteran pass catching back. If you know, I don't think you can count on Ty Montgomery for much, and it's going to be a new role for Pierre Strong. So J.D. McKissic fits that bill. Certainly.
Yeah. Oh, Alex, is Zach Kuntz soft?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think so. I don't know. Do you?
Fair enough.
I
don't know. I saw it. I wanted to push your buttons a little bit.
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell with those big guys, right? Because especially at that level, they're just so much bigger than everybody else. They don't really have to be afraid of contact. No, it's possible. Like, I'm legitimately wondering this because that is something I watched when I was, I wondered when I was watching him, like he's bowling everybody over, but he's not going to be this much bigger than everybody else in the NFL. What is it going to look like when he has to take contact? So it's an interesting question. Yeah.
Barth has to pick one, Jahmyr Gibbs or DeAndre Hopkins.
Ooh. Because
you hate both.
I don't think I hate both. I've been big on Hopkins. Do I hate both? I think Hopkins gives you more of what you need. I know Gibbs is a better play long term and all of that, but we talked about this last night, Mike. They can't necessarily take the longest term approach in this draft. Because the reality is, if it doesn't work this season, you're blowing it all up and resetting anyway. So the long term doesn't mean a lot.
It's weird. They're in a weird spot with that because you kind of have to play the happy medium game, or you have to try. Because on one hand, you could give a bunch of guys 1-year deals, an older Odell and an older DeAndre Hopkins, but then they prove it and they do well, and then they leave again, and then Max basically right back where he started with no weapons. And so that's why I liked that Juju's deal was a 3-year deal, actually, because he's not taking that other 1-year deal that he had the last two seasons. He's still young. He's 26. You have him here through age 29. Maybe you re-up. Maybe you extend him at one point. But if him and Matt can build on something and build a rapport, then I think – I really do. I love the Juju signing. I thought that was massive for them today.
Yeah.
Having said that, having to pick here, I'm going Gibbs because he's a guy who played in O'Brien's system. You can play him in the slot. You can play him at running back. You can hand him the ball and you can throw him the ball. So I think he's a really good fit.
All right. How about this one for you? What round is Darnell Washington going?
I really, truly believe he's going to be a back-end first-round pick. I wouldn't be surprised if a team takes him over Michael Mayer. I think he's better than Mayer. I really do. Just the fact that he can block and he can, you know, be a great pass catcher. And he showed the speed. The one knock was the speed, and he blew it out of the water at the combine. And so, yeah, I really think I'd be shocked if he's not a first-round pick because I think that it's going to be the two of them. I think he's going to go over Kincaid too. I like Kincaid, but I just think Darnell Washington is the best one in the draft. So first round pick.
All right. If we sign Odell, do we keep Parker, Moore, Juju, and Thornton? That's a full room. I think that's the room. I think you keep everybody. Now, maybe Parker becomes a camp cut, but I do feel like that's the group you stick with. And that's a good five. And another thing to keep in mind here, Bill O'Brien likes rotating personnel. He likes mixing and matching personnel. And that's something they probably could have done last year. And I know y'all remember me talking about that until I was red in the face. They never did it. You can get really creative with this group because Bourne, Juju, and Thornton, I think, are all true hybrids, can play in the slot and on the boundary. You probably could get creative with Odell in the slot. He hasn't really done that in a long time. But like, I think it's possible. And then Parker's locked in as your ex. Like, you're not moving him a ton, but I think that's
everyone else can kind of mix and match.
I think that's a full room. Maybe you draft somebody, I don't know, but like, I wouldn't, if they sign Odell, the room's complete. I wouldn't, you know, I don't think that they're overflowing or anything like that.
The only tough part is then it's like Tyquan Thornton's your last receiver, and then he's gonna be the last one on the field. And then you're getting him into his third year.
But again, O'Brien likes...
just spent a second-round pick on him.
First of all, it's totally something they would do. They do that, like, all the time. They do things all the time. And it...
then he's going to end up being there an active guy. And it's like...
I don't think so, because, again, even though, like... they do like to rotate... like, O'Brien likes to rotate his receivers. I don't think you're going to see... like, we're so used to, right? Jacoby Myers is like a 90-95% usage rate guy for the Patriots the last couple of years. Before that, it was Edelman. Never came off the field.
Right.
With this group, if this were to be the group, Odell or even Hopkins, frankly, Parker, Bourne, Juju, and Thornton, I don't think you're going to see any of them over like 80%. I think it's going to be a healthy rotation. Yeah. The other thing is, pending a tight end move, then you're going to see a lot less 12 personnel too, right? You don't need to get Henry and John Smith on the field. So they have to do it. You know, I said all this last year and it made sense and they didn't do it. They have to do it, but O'Brien's history tells us he would do that. So I actually don't think it's totally crazy. And I don't think, like, look, some people are going to play more than others for what they're probably going to pay Odell. He's going to play a good amount. Think Juju's going to play a good amount, but do you rotate Thornton, Bourne, and Parker at like 40% each? That's a good number.
Bourne and Thorne.
Yeah, it's I did that in the wrong order.
Yeah, fair. All right. So, is there any chance the Patriots do not finish in fourth in the division this year? They are currently last on FanDuel's board to win the AFC East. They think they're going to be the worst team in the AFC East. Obviously, there's a chance they don't, but I still think they need to make some moves in order to, you know, pass Miami.
Yeah, I mean, look, Miami, still the quarterback situation is still somewhat of a question mark, and there's injury issues there. Aaron Rodgers could get disengaged and the Jets blow up and become a circus. That's certainly possible. Yeah, I you know, If I had a guess, I think they're finishing fourth, but I don't think it's like a lock or anything.
This is another, you know, I might get a lot of heat for this, but, and I've said it before with other divisions, this is a really good division, just like it was last year. And I know they all have to play each other, but who says an entire division can't make the postseason?
I mean, Patriots almost did last year. Or the AFC.
I know.
So actually, the NFC East almost did too.
Yeah, mathematically, it can work. And so, look, if the Patriots keep improving and the Dolphins keep improving, the Jets are going to make it. The Bills are going to make it. There could be three wildcard teams out of the AFC East. That wouldn't necessarily shock me if these teams keep playing well. Because, again, the Patriots, for what they were 8-9 and on the fringe of a playoff berth in Week 18 last year.
Yeah.
Week 18. So they get better. They get the whatever Matt Patricia was out of here and Big Umbrella. Like, they can improve and be a solid football team.
All right, we should probably touch on this because he is now officially a free agent.
Oh, God.
Okay. Lamar Jackson joined the Patriots. Where in the division would they rank? Well, let's see who they get him to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Right? I would still say they need another receiver. I might put them ahead of the Dolphins in that case. I still don't think they're in on him. I just still don't think.
I don't think they're in on him either. But
I don't think so. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens, but I don't think they're in on him.
Hypothetically, Alex, we go Odell, Juju, KB, Thornton, Hunter Henry.
Sure.
Darnell Washington, Lamar Jackson. That is a heck of an offense right there. That fits what they want to do with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And what Bill O'Brien
it's
wants
not
to
bad.
Do in offense.
It's not bad.
It's a good offense.
Long way away, but that's not a bad offense.
It is a long way away, but I like the idea of it. The Patriots will not get LJ according to... I clicked the wrong one. Patriots
this
will
one?
Not get LJ. He won't. Yeah, they probably won't.
They won't.
We got to talk about it. Someone asked.
News,
and
yeah.
Like you said, you can talk to him now. And so they have the cap space to do so, and they're making moves like a Juju Smith-Schuster and potentially Odell where they would fit, you know, to work with Lamar just as much as they will with Mac Jones, but you got to talk about it. And so I guess we shall see, but no team has made him an offer yet.
Right. I will throw this up because there's a bigger point here. Somebody asked, do we think Devin Witherspoon could drop to pick 14 or any other good corners? Might've missed it today. Cause not free agency news, but the Georgia Pro Day was today. And
yep.
Jalen Carter, and if you don't know, Jalen Carter was in the running to be a top five pick. He was in the running to be the number one overall pick. He's a defensive lineman from Georgia. Very talented, very athletic, ton of production. The first day of the combine, we found out there was a warrant out for his arrest for essentially reckless driving, street racing, involving an accident that got a teammate and another Georgia staffer killed. So he wasn't at the combine. He said he's going to get it all sorted out, and he believes he won't face charges, and there were some reports that it may not impact his draft stock. Well, he showed up to his pro day. He was 13 pounds over his combine weight. That's 13 pounds in like 2 weeks, and he couldn't finish the drill, so he was having trouble breathing. He was out of breath. He was gassed. First, I hope he's okay.
Of course.
Non-football-wise, but I will say he's now falling, and if he's going to fall outside of that top 14, by the way, I don't think the Patriots should take him for a number of reasons. It's another player that a team is taking ahead of the Patriots, right? So it's only one player, but it's interesting, you know, that dynamic. That's one more spot. You know, Jalen Carter going in the top five, that might push a corner down, or that might push a receiver down, or that might push a tackle down. That's now one more guy that's going to go ahead of the Patriots that they maybe could need.
Exactly.
I'm not saying the Patriots should draft Jalen Carter. This isn't me saying Jalen Carter will fall to the Patriots. Definitely not that. But like, the board's moving. The board's moving.
Yeah, the
and this is an interesting development because who knows? Maybe there's a team that was going to take Jalen Carter. And the one thing I can never remember about the draft is the order. I can remember all of the Patriots picks on their own, but I can never remember the order of the draft. All right.
Why? What are you trying to think of? Panthers? Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm just – all right. Let's say there's a team like – all right, the Bears at 9 are a perfect example, actually.
Yeah.
Bears might have been in on Jalen Carter. That would have made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But if he's now undraftable, I don't think they're going to take another defensive lineman. Now maybe they look at it and say, you know, we should get a tackle to protect Justin Fields. And now all of a sudden Paris Johnson's off the board, whereas he might have lasted a little later. Right. And then the next team that needs a tackle, right, and it pushes the whole thing. So it's a very interesting development with Carter. It's going to be interesting to watch because I think there are teams ahead of the Patriots with needs that are similar. And I was kind of thinking Jalen Carter might push somebody down just as a, we don't really need him, but he's so good, we're going to take him anyway, right, kind of pick. Now that's off the board. And he's Carter. I think he's going to fall out of the first round now.
So do I. It's almost like, and again, you don't know what, A, you don't know what he's going through. B, you don't know what him and his agent and, you know, legal team and all those guys are talking about with his current situation. But it almost feels like if you're going to come into your workout like that, you shouldn't even work out because teams were going to look at you in that top 15. And now, you know, you put that on tape. It's too bad. Again, you hope he's doing okay, you know, mentally, right, physically and all that. But tough showing for Carter. So, yeah. It's going to take him another spot for a guy like Devin Witherspoon, a guy like Joey Porter Jr. Those tackles, they're going to start to go earlier now. And so, yeah, it adds another layer to the Patriots pick at 14. I saw a question earlier. I don't know if I can still find it. I don't think so, but it can build off this. We talk about the Patriots moving down in the draft because they always do it. They continue to move down. They move down. They get picks. They make assets. Would they ever move up from 14? I mean, that's a strange question. Of course they could and would, depending, but would you ever see them in this draft moving up from 14?
Only if they really want one of the tackles.
That's what I'm thinking.
And I think what they've done in free agency the last couple of days suggests that's not the case. Now, I don't think I could see them moving up in the second round. I think that makes a ton of sense. If they stay where they are at 14, I don't think they're, who are they moving up to get? Like, the guy to me they would move up to get is Christian Gonzalez. And I do think he's the best corner in this draft. Mm-hmm. But the gap between him and a guy like Joey Porter or Devin Witherspoon, like they're going to be able to get one of those guys. The gap's not that big, and they can get one of those guys at 14. So I don't see it. I think it's like last year felt like made a lot more sense to trade up than this year.
Yeah, I agree. Well,
Giants have officially released Kenny Golladay. No.
That's your guy.
No.
That's the one. No. That's the one that he's going to take. He's going to dictate coverage, and that's how it's all coming into place. Kenny Golladay.
I'm sure all three of his catches would be outstanding in this offense, but no.
Juju opens up again. He goes for 1,400 because guys like Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde are just going to have to eat up Kenny Golladay in this Bill O'Brien offense. We're kidding.
Cracked the case.
But yes. I had to double check my tweet notifications. No new news as of now. Unfortunately, we didn't get real, true Patriots breaking news on the show tonight. But the good news is we will be back tomorrow again on Thursday to do this thing one more time this week because we're still hoping another domino is going to fall on this Patriots, on this start to free agency for the Patriots offseason. So we'll be back tomorrow, probably 7 p.m. again. But you can follow us on Twitter at Mike Cadlick, at Real Alex Barth. For updates. Thank you to FanDuel, as I've said before, because FanDuel.com/Boston is your way to get $200 in bonus bets. Go do it right now. It's 8 p.m. There's games on later tonight. You can bet on them with $200 free dollars. All you got to do is go to FanDuel.com/Boston, deposit $10, bet $5. You get $200 in bonus bets. Go bet on the NBA if you want tonight. Bet responsibly, of course, but you can do that on our dime to help out the show as well. FanDuel.com/Boston. So, until tomorrow night, he's Alex Barth. Read all of his stuff at 98.5thesportshub.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RealAlexBarth. Follow me at Mike Cadlick. Read all my good stuff. Free agency trackers on clnsmedia.com. Again, until tomorrow, with hopefully some more free agency news. Thank you all for watching.